Challenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. It's now.
Imagine your city's water supply just suddenly shuts off.
Just completely dark.
Right, completely gone. And before the local utility company even knows there's a problem, and long before the mayor can issue any kind of statement, you get a text message.
Straight to your phone.
Exactly. It's a screenshot showing the compromised internal control panel of the water plant delivered directly to you.
Which is terrifying.
Oh, the panic is immediate. And, you know, it is entirely by design. Now, before we unpack how this nightmare scenario is actively being engineered right now, I have a very specific and highly important required presentation statement that I need to share with you verbatim. So bear with me for a second.
Go for it.
Okay, here it is. This deep dive is presented by the Cyber Intelligence Bureau, a division of the Orange Cyber Defense Epidemiology Laboratory. The Cyber Intelligence Bureau approach combines OSINT and human research, such as diagnostics of cyber reflections, including contextual, informational, emotional, cognitive, and geopolitical understanding analyses of cyber threat influences.
Right. And to put that operational framework into context for you, everything we're analyzing today is derived entirely from OSINT.
Open source intelligence, right.
Exactly. Alongside HUMINT, or human intelligence investigations. These are sources of cyber origin that have been exhaustively correlated, validated, and qualified as trusted.
So it's heavily vetted.
Extremely vetted. And this information is an analysis from a strictly cyber perspective. It's also really vital to establish right up front that this entire report strictly respects the principle of neutrality.
Right. No political sides here.
None at all. We're just examining the architecture of a threat. Impartial neutrality is fundamental to the research carried out by the Bureau.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Our mission today, and we've got about 7 minutes to do this, is to deconstruct this newly crystallized threat group known as APT Iran.
Yeah, and it's a fascinating one.
It really is, because reading through this intelligence report, it becomes immediately clear that we are not just looking at, like, a group of hackers trying to breach a firewall.
No, not at all.
We're looking at this apparatus that merges operational technology sabotage with what the report calls emotional and cognitive intelligence.
Yes. They're literally mapping human psychological vulnerabilities to weaponize our own minds against us.
Which is wild. So if we look at the origin of this group, the report pinpoints a very specific crystallization date, right? Mm-hmm. February 28, 2026.
Right, which followed the strikes of Operation Epic Fury.
Yeah, but structurally, how are they actually organized? Because looking at the data, this doesn't look like a traditional rigid military unit.
It doesn't. It operates much more like a massive digital advertising agency.
Right.
Or maybe a highly coordinated franchise model.
A franchise, like a fast food chain, but for cyber warfare.
Yeah, exactly. That late February date marked the official emergence of what the report terms an electronic operations room. The umbrella hub coordinating this whole franchise is called the Cyber Islamic Resistance.
Okay, so under that umbrella, you have these highly specialized departments handling different phases of a campaign.
Right. The structure relies on specialized subgroups working together. So, for example, you have the Handela hack team.
And their job is mostly data theft.
Exactly. Their entire portfolio is massive data exfiltration and, you know, hack and leak operations. But then you have a group like Cyber Avthrangers. Their focus is almost purely on physical infrastructure sabotage. They deploy wiper malware to permanently destroy systems.
Not just steal from them, but wipe them out.
Exactly. And you also have groups like APT-35, also known as Magic Hound, handling the initial espionage.
Right.
And then DDoS allies like the 313 team providing the brute force disruption.
Okay, but what strikes me here is that the underlying engine driving all of these groups isn't just malicious code. It's that cognitive intelligence aspect.
Yes, the psychological warfare.
Right. The report details these specific techniques they use to manipulate the human brain, but how do they actually recruit and motivate a talented coder to participate in operations that are actively destroying civilian infrastructure?
Well, they rely heavily on a concept grounded in psychological research known as the theory of the quest for significance.
The quest for significance.
Yeah. This was detailed extensively in publications by the psychologist Ari Kruglansky around 2014. He explored the mechanics of radicalization.
Okay. And what does that theory actually say?
It basically posits that individuals have a fundamental existential need to feel that their lives matter, that they are part of something much larger than themselves.
So they aren't necessarily recruiting these hackers based on, like, a huge financial payout?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. They are recruiting based on existential purpose. They target young technophiles and diaspora sympathizers by offering them a heroic narrative. By framing these cyber operations as a vital ideological struggle, sitting at a keyboard and deploying malware suddenly takes on this profound existential meaning.
You aren't a cyber criminal anymore. You're a digital warrior defending your beliefs. There has to be friction there, right? I mean, if you recruit someone who believes they are a hero, but their daily task involves extorting money from a hospital or shutting down a civilian power grid, that creates intense cognitive dissonance.
Huge dissonance. Yeah,
because most people have a natural psychological barrier against doing something objectively harmful to innocent people.
Which brings us to the second pillar of their cognitive manipulation. Moral disengagement.
Moral disengagement.
Right. This is based on Albert Bandura's seminal 1999 research on how people can commit harmful acts without feeling personal distress. APT Iran utilizes a specific mechanism of this called euphemistic labeling.
Oh, so it's a linguistic trick.
Yes.
By changing what you call the action, you change how the brain processes the morality of it.
It is highly effective. If an operative is ordered to launch a ransomware attack to extort millions from a civilian business, they might experience ethical guilt.
Naturally.
But the electronic operations room internally relabels that financial extortion as collecting a resistance tax or a reparation. The moral barrier is completely neutralized. The action remains exactly the same, but the psychological weight of it is just erased.
That perfectly explains how they get them to do the work. But how do they keep them engaged? I mean, a cyber campaign involves a lot of waiting around, right? Reconnaissance, failed attempts.
A lot of waiting, yes.
So how do you maintain that high level of ideological fervor over months or even years?
They actually leverage the neuroscience of addiction, specifically a concept called reward prediction error.
Reward prediction error.
Yeah, it was heavily researched by the neuroscientist Wolfram Schultz in 1997. Schultz discovered that our dopamine neurons don't just fire when we get a reward.
Okay.
They fire most intensely when you receive a reward that is completely unpredictable.
Wait, that's the underlying psychology of a slot machine, isn't it?
Exactly. You pull the lever because you don't know if the payout is coming on this pull or the next one.
But how does APT Iran map a neurological mechanism like reward prediction error onto a digital workspace?
They map it directly onto the user interface of Telegram.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they don't issue predictable, scheduled press releases about their operations. Instead, they gamify their cyber victories. They broadcast unpredictable, sporadic successes on these closed Telegram channels.
So if you're a recruit or a sympathizer in one of these channels, you're just constantly checking your phone.
Over and over.
Waiting for that next dopamine hit, which in this case is a sudden flood of screenshots showing a compromised adversary server.
Yes. The variable reward creates a highly addictive engagement loop. Mm-hmm. And because these Telegram channels are tightly controlled, closed environments, they also enforce extreme confirmation bias.
Because they control everything you see.
Exactly. The administrators selectively reinforce the group's narrative while actively filtering out any contradictory information from the outside world. It creates this digital echo chamber that sustains total group cohesion.
Okay, so we've covered how they hack the brains of their own recruits. But the intelligence report emphasizes that they are deploying these same cognitive tactics against their targets, against the actual victims. How does that psychological warfare actually materialize during an infrastructure breach?
Well, they deploy two very potent psychological weapons against the public, strategic empathy and loss aversion.
Strategic empathy sounds benevolent, but I'm guessing it's not.
No, in this context, it is highly predatory. They conduct fine-grained emotional reading of the target population. They identify real-world political frustrations or civilian anxieties, and they expertly twist those genuine emotions into a paralyzing collective anger.
They are basically mapping the emotional landscape of a country so they know exactly where to press the buttons.
Yes.
And loss aversion.
So loss aversion traces back to Kahneman and Tversky's 1979 prospect theory. That proved human beings experience the pain of a loss approximately twice as intensely as the joy of an equivalent gain.
Right. We are terrified of losing what we already possess.
Exactly. Security, basic utilities, normalcy. APT Iran exploits this by utilizing an immediate claim without verification tactic.
Okay, but if you're going to trigger severe loss aversion, they need a tangible crisis, right? A fake screenshot on Telegram only goes so far. How are they physically breaching these industrial environments to create the conditions for that panic? The report mentions operational technology or OT systems.
Yes, they are targeting these SCADA systems, the architecture that controls physical industrial processes.
Like the automated valves at a water treatment facility.
Right, or the turbines at a power station.
Mm.
But their method of access is what makes this so insidious.
Yeah.
They aren't always spending millions of dollars to develop complex, custom zero-day malware.
Wait, really?
No. Instead, they exploit older known vulnerabilities and abuse legitimate administrative tools, specifically mobile device management or MDM platforms.
Wait, so an MDM, that's the software that an IT administrator uses to remotely manage a company's fleet of devices, right?
Yes.
Like, if an employee loses their laptop, the IT department uses the MDM to remotely lock it or wipe the hard drive. That requires absolute foundational access to the network.
The highest level of access.
So if APT Iran isn't using a zero-day exploit to get in, how are they taking control of these highly secure platforms?
It generally involves exploiting unpatched vulnerabilities in the edge network devices,
mm-hmm.
like the VPNs or firewalls, just to gain a foothold. And once they're inside, they pivot and compromise the MDM server itself.
Oh, wow.
This is devastating because the MDM inherently possesses the highest level of trust on that network.
They are essentially stealing the master keys. And because the malicious commands are coming from the company's own trusted management software, the internal security tools might just see it as a routine administrative action.
Exactly. They completely bypass the defenses by becoming the administrator.
That's terrifying.
And this technical execution synergizes perfectly with their psychological warfare. Let's look at that immediate claim without verification tactic again.
Okay.
The technical attack, using the MDM to disrupt the water system, that's only phase one. Phase two is entirely cognitive. The absolute second they trigger that physical disruption, APT Iran aggressively pushes dashboards and screenshots of the compromised system directly to the public and to the mobile phones of the victims.
So they bypass the traditional media, they bypass the IT department, and they deliver the terror straight to your pocket.
Exactly. They do this before the water utility company even realizes they are under attack. Before government authorities can assess the situation or verify if the damage is as catastrophic as claimed, the threat group has already flooded Telegram and social media.
They race to own the narrative.
They do. By the time an official press release is drafted, the public is already experiencing extreme loss aversion and panic.
Okay, so we have the mechanism here. Hijack the administrative tools, disrupt the physical infrastructure, and then immediately flood the zone with targeted psychological triggers to outpace the government's ability to respond.
Yep.
But what is the strategic endgame here? Like, who is this entire apparatus currently pointed at, and where does the intelligence suggest they are moving next?
The geopolitical motivation driving this franchise is really a doctrine of retaliation against economic pressure and Western military strikes.
So it's not about winning a war in the traditional sense.
No. The core objective is to completely erode public confidence in the resilience of their adversary's infrastructure. If citizens do not believe their government can keep the lights on or the water clean, the social contract begins to fracture.
Right. And historically, the intelligence outlines that their priority targets are critical infrastructure in the U.S., Israel, and the broader Gulf region, right? Like Jordan, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Bahrain.
Yes, historically.
But there is a geographic shift detailed in the report under the most probable hypothesis.
And there is. The OSINT analysis indicates a high probability that future targeting will pivot heavily toward countries within the European Union.
The EU.
Yes, alongside Oman, Qatar, and other Western-aligned nations.
If the EU is the most probable future target, what specific sectors are at the highest risk? I mean, we usually think of energy grids or the financial sector when discussing state-aligned cyber threats.
Well, energy, defense, healthcare, and telecommunications are all prime targets.
Naturally.
However, the sector that the Cyber Intelligence Bureau highlights with glaring urgency is agro-food and critical agriculture.
Wait, agriculture?
Specifically, strategic grain silos.
Grain silos. That completely shifts the dynamic. You disrupt a telecommunications network, communication is hampered. You disrupt a power grid, you create localized chaos. But if you target strategic grain silos,
you're threatening the foundational food supply chain.
You're leveraging the threat of actual starvation.
Exactly. Which leads directly into what the report outlines as the most dangerous scenario. The Bureau defines this as the cyber critical infrastructure blackout.
A blackout? How does a blackout of that magnitude actually unfold? Because I imagine it's not just a single sector going dark for a few hours.
No, it's a highly synchronized multi-vector operation designed to paralyze key services within a very narrow window of time. In this scenario, APT Iran would not isolate their attack to a single target. They would combine massive cyber attacks on vital systems simultaneously, striking the electric power grids, the water treatment facilities, and those strategic grain silos all at once.
A perfectly synchronized strike intended to completely overwhelm the incident response capabilities of an entire nation.
And they would likely couple these digital strikes with kinetic military actions or large-scale disinformation campaigns.
Right.
The objective is to engineer cascading failures. You know, the infrastructure of a modern European nation is deeply interconnected.
So if the power grid drops,
the automated water pumps fail. If the water systems fail, the agricultural supply chains freezes.
And as those physical systems are shutting down sequentially, that electronic operations room is executing phase two.
Exactly.
They are utilizing their closed telegram networks, leveraging that reward prediction error we talked about to mobilize their sympathizers, and flooding the internet with the immediate claim propaganda.
The systemic impact is meticulously designed to create prolonged psychological stress and severe economic friction. They want to normalize this extreme level of cyber retaliation.
Because if they can demonstrate that they can induce multi-week power outages and severe food shortages,
they fuel immediate social unrest. They don't need to defeat a European military on a physical battlefield. If they can cause a targeted society to just tear itself apart from within through fear, resource scarcity, and a total loss of trust in governmental authority, they achieve their strategic objective.
Man, it is a profound shift in how we need to understand conflict. We have spent this deep dive mapping the architecture of APT Iran. We've seen how they operate right at this intersection of OT network sabotage and cognitive manipulation.
Yeah.
They are exploiting the unpatched vulnerabilities in our digital infrastructure, like an unsecured MDM platform. And they are simultaneously exploiting the unpatched vulnerabilities in human psychology, using principles of moral disengagement and loss aversion to turn localized disruptions into weaponized societal stress.
They are hacking the machine to create the crisis, and they are hacking the mind to amplify the terror. It's a dual-pronged approach where, honestly, the psychological damage is often far more enduring than the technical disruption.
So if you are managing an IT network or working in critical infrastructure right now, this analysis clearly outlines that your own administrative tools, your MDMs, are a primary vector.
Yes, absolutely.
But even if you have nothing to do with cybersecurity, the front line of this conflict is the smartphone in your pocket. It is the confirmation bias in your own mind. It's that immediate anger or panic you feel when you receive an unverified screenshot during a moment of crisis. The intelligence we've reviewed today proves that our cognitive reactions are no longer just personal emotions. They are actively modeled variables in modern cyber warfare.
And this raises a critical consideration for the future. As these threat groups increasingly integrate artificial intelligence to automate these psychological manipulations, scaling the delivery of emotional contagion just as easily as they scale a DDoS attack, we are faced with a fundamental asymmetry. We know how to issue a software patch to secure a server, but how do we go about patching the human mind against weaponized emotional manipulation?
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.